Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I'm delighted to guide you in meditation. We're going to sit together for 10 minutes and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor with your legs crossed loosely in front of you or in the equally spiritual chair with your feet flat on the floor, unless that's uncomfortable. And as we get started, I just want to share with you a few thoughts about the true nature of our practice. And I've been thinking about these things in particular because I just finished writing my next book called The Buddhist Enneagram, 9 Paths to Warriorship. It'll be out in September. And the Enneagram, in case you are unfamiliar, E-N-N-E-A-gram, Ennea is the Greek prefix for 9. And the Enneagram is a system that describes 9 kinds of people. And you are one of them. And I am one of them. And this book is about how they have supported me in my Buddhist practice of attempting to be more compassionate toward myself and others and more present and awake. For me, the Enneagram has been of unbelievable importance in that. And when my book comes out, this sounds interesting, I hope it will support you as well. So the point I want to make here, though, is that both systems, the Buddha Dharma and the Enneagram, are vast wisdom traditions full of nuance and magic, I would say. And by magic, I mean they have the power to wake us up to what we can't see. That's kind of magic. Also, what they have in common, especially in the last decade or so, both practices or systems have been co-opted in a good way by psychology and therapeutic approaches to their use. Oh my God, I have no argument with that. Fabulous. You want to be less stressed? You want to get a better night's sleep? You want to be a better leader, a better parent? Meditation will help you. You want to communicate more clearly with those you love. You want to cease to be so aggressive towards yourself. You want to understand people who you think are beyond understanding. Oh, the Enneagram will definitely help with that. But they also can go far beyond that to help you become liberated from suffering, to wake up. All we have to do is maintain them as sacred practices, not only gestures of self-help. So how do you do that? How do you keep your meditation practice sacred without going woo-woo or like thinking crazy thoughts, religious thoughts? None of that is required. In fact, those are distracting. As I was taught, to keep our meditation practice firmly rooted in the sacred, we only have to do 3 things. I wrote about them in my book, Start Here Now. So if you want to learn more, you can read that, but you don't have to because I'm fixing to tell you what they are right now. The first step is called make offerings. You want to evoke a sense of generosity and giving. I give something to my practice, to whatever it is I think of as the highest wisdom, to that which inspires me, to that which I aspire to be like, I make an offering. Now, everything you see behind me is an offering. And if you walk into a temple or a church or a Buddhist shrine room, usually there's a table in front with things on it, like this. These are all offerings. Cool. If you want to have an offering table, you can. You can put a picture of something or someone who inspires you. You can light a candle. You can have flowers. That's fantastic. But you don't need to do that to make an offering, because the best offering is always yourself. I sit down on my cushion and I offer myself to my practice, to wisdom, to what I hold the highest. And that means not my perfect, all cleaned up, nice self, but my whole self, however I feel right now. So I'm sitting down to practice with you. I feel good. I feel kind of tired. I feel a little grumpy because I had a little tiff with someone earlier. I feel like I love my cat, so I got a lot of love in my heart. I feel happy to be talking to you. So all of that is how I feel right now, and other things I probably can't even name. I offer that. I start my practice, and I invite you to start your practice or experiment with this by just offering yourself. Offering. I give myself to my practice. That's my offering. The second step is called request blessings. So that's very important. So who are you making these offerings to, and who are you requesting these blessings from? So if you are in a religious tradition, I am, I'm a Buddhist. Maybe you are a Christian or on a shamanic path, or maybe you're any religion, or atheist even. You have some belief system, something that you adhere to. Well, the blessings that you request are from the holders of your lineage. And traditionally, at least in Buddhist settings, you actually name them. You say, all the great teachers that have come before you, not all, because that would take your whole lifetime, but Padmasambhava in my particular Tibetan traditions, Vajradhara, Talopa, Naropa, Milarepa, Gampopa, there are chants that you say their names. Hi, everybody. Please bless me. I hold your lineage. Grant your blessing. Now, I have a formal commitment to that lineage, so I hold that lineage. I'm doing my best. But you hold lineages too, whether you are in a religious tradition or not, because you didn't get here in a spaceship, as far as I know. If you did, I'd love to hear about it. But you are connected to traditions and cultures and endeavors that you think that you hold the highest, that you feel aligned with. Usually the ones you feel the highest are the highest. So maybe you identify. So ask yourself, what do you identify with as the best? What are you proud of? What do you aspire to be like? So those are your lineages, because otherwise you wouldn't feel heart connection to them. So for example, maybe you identify with the lineage of scientists, lineage of Italian Americans, the lineage of poets, the lineage of parents, lineage of friends, lineage of activists, the lineage of parents, the lineage of people who have no lineage. There's some tribe or tribes that you are connected to, in fact, and or in your heart, that you think that's my place, that's for me, that's good. Well, those are your lineages, and that's who you request blessings from. So you may have heard me say this before, I'll say it again. So when I practice, I sometimes think of my Buddhist teachers, some of whom I have known and spoken to, most of whom were passed long before I was born. But I think of them sitting to my right, and I name them, this one, that one, the other one, in my heart, sometimes out loud. And over here, I think of my other lineages, my grandparents from Eastern Europe, the poet Rilke, who I hold in the highest esteem, Bob Dylan, a writer who I really admire. So these are other lineages that I want to be blessed by. And we can ask, we can request, please bless me. In one of the traditional chants I do, there's a line that says, grant your blessing. I hold your lineage. Grant your blessing. I mix those lines up. I hold your lineage. Hope that's okay. Grant your blessing so that I may follow your example. Now, I'm not saying get woo-woo. I'll just mention that again. But you can feel these beings within you, around you, not in a ghostly way, but because you have a heart connection to them. they're in here. You can have a conversation, therefore, on some level. Make offerings, request blessings. So I suggest, I ask you, if you think this would be enjoyable, take some time and think about who your lineage holders are. Could be your parents, they could be great teachers, they could be friends, they could be poets, whoever it is, think about them. And when you sit down to practice, offer something to them and request their blessing. Then you do your practice, which we're going to do momentarily. And at the end of your practice, you do the third step, which is called dedicate the merit. And this is something you can do in a moment. But at the end of your practice, instead of just going, okay, did that, off I go, you make another kind of offering. You rouse some sense of what your practice was like, sleepy, silly, profound, boring, cool, whatever it was, and you give it away. You offer the fruits of your practice today so that they could benefit all beings. I hope my practice can benefit everyone. I don't know if everyone's going to benefit from me sitting here wondering about my life or whatever it is I do on the meditation cushion. I don't care. I'm going to offer it anyway. So make offerings, request blessings, do your practice, dedicate the merit. That's what we teach in the Open Heart Project. That's, of course, what I myself do. And it is predicated on no religious beliefs whatsoever. So you can be creative and make it personal, which is always advisable. So, okay, let's sit together. Begin, please, by establishing your posture, which basically means sit up straight. Your version of straight. Now, not straight like, oh, I'm a meditator, because you don't want to look like a meditator. You want to be a meditator. And there's some sense of upliftedness that comes with that being a meditator. Same time you're just sitting there. So, the hands rest on the legs, palms down. Let the belly relax. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted, and you can let all the muscles of speech relax. The tongue, the jaw, the throat, the wish to speak, you can also relax because you don't need them right now. And if you look inside, there is no one in there talking. So you can just reconnect with your own inner silence. The breath is natural in and out through the nose. The eyes are open in our practice, and the gaze is cast down to a spot in front, somewhere that feels comfortable given the distance of your screen. Up to 6 feet, say. And just let your gaze come to rest with a sense of receiving through the eyes rather than seeking through the eyes, just letting what is in front of you come toward you, as it were, rather than having to reach out for it. Let your attention come to rest on the breath, meaning the feeling of the body breathing. We don't want to observe the breath as much as we want to experience the breath, feel the breath. So feel the inhale and the exhale, the next inhale and exhale, and so forth. And let there be a sense that your mind rests on the breath as if it was a hammock that sways in and out, and you place your mind in the hammock and it just rocked gently. Your mind will continue to make thoughts, no problem. That's what it does, no big deal. Just let your mind be as it is. Most of your thoughts will just come and go on their own. You don't have to do anything about them. You're not trying to stop thinking. There's no off switch, so no problem. It's just happening. It's not a big deal. My attention is on the breath and what's here with me in the room through that I could take in through the eyes or the ears. I'm visually impaired. And my thoughts are just sounds or movements happening next to me, as it were. So breath is in the foreground, thoughts go into the background. Now, if you notice you become absorbed in a line of thought to the point where you have forgotten about your breath, that's fine, no problem. Really notice that. Don't just push it away. Notice that you're thinking. You can label that moment to yourself silently. Thinking. So you start to become familiar with the difference between the thinking mind and the meditating mind. That's thinking. Then just let go. Don't skip that step. Just let go. Gently come back to this breath and begin again, feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together for a few more minutes in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me and my cat. And thank you for practicing together.